Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let me hit the intro first before you start. All right.
To you by halalshirts.com, where you can find fun novelty gifts for your Muslim friends. While you're at it, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel.
Yo, salam nerds, it's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka Jazzward Norton.
Jazzward Norton,
like Edward Norton.
Nice.
The original Hulk in the MCU.
Yep, I remember him. He was that one guy, and we're like, hey, what happened to him? He changed to Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. Nice. But yo, how do you like my intro? You like that intro I made?
Bro, that's really cool. Yeah.
I had to bring it back. You know that's the sound from 24? You ever see that show? Jack.
Yes, I was wondering.
That's where that's from.
Sound really familiar. I was like, oh.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I am so excited. Today's going to be a fun episode, man. Today's going to be a fun episode. I got a guest that I've been trying to have on this show for a long, long time. She is an attorney, which is perfect for today's episode. Ooh. For She-Hulk, which is super awesome. Not only that, but she actually made my logo for TikTok and Instagram. I hired her and I was like, yo, can you make me look cool? And then what happened was she made me look too good looking. And I was like, yo, you gotta chill. People are gonna think I'm trying to like catfish everybody. Yeah. But I met her on Clubhouse. Her and then two other girls were hosting a bunch of places on Clubhouse, and it was really fun. I was so intimidated in their Clubhouse. They are so good. Honestly, if she made a competing podcast, I would just pack it up right now and leave it. I'd be like, here are the keys to Salam Nerds. You can
sir,
do it better than me.
We're going to do a hostile takeover. We're not going to, let that continue. We're just going to, say mergers and acquisitions, right?
Oh, yes, mergers and acquisitions. So welcome, Zainab. Zainab, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on after I flaked, I think, once or twice. I'm so sorry, but I'm so glad to be here. I should say, though, I'm not an attorney yet. I am articling, which means basically in Canada, you have to do a year of articling after you graduate law school. And then I'll be writing my bar exam in November. So hopefully I pass and then I'll be an attorney there. But I'm currently working in a family and criminal defense firm. So kind of what Miss Jen is doing right now on this show.
Yeah.
Sort of, right?
She's representing the bad
criminal
guy.
Defense. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I thought that's pretty awesome, man. How are you feeling about the show overall? Tell us, as an what is it? An attorney in training? Is that what attorney with training wheels?
Yeah. Zainab Asadullah, a baby lawyer. I think that's the term. I like it. I love the show. Honestly, when I first saw the show talked about online, it was just all this negative stuff from the Ben Shapiro's of the world. And I was determined to like the show regardless. But luckily, the show is actually very good. So it caught me by surprise. I love Marvel, but I also don't really expect too much from Marvel. It's just it's very entertaining. I don't expect it to have the fourth wall breaks as good as they are in this show. And I feel like Jen is a very unique hero. So anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself in terms of discussing this show, but I'm very pumped for this show. My only complaint is it's too short.
It is a little short, but I like that feel because it feels like a sitcom, because they said they wanted to be like Ally McBeal, right? And I think that vibe is there. That vibe is definitely there. And it's really cool to see. So let's talk a little bit about the law part of it, right? How much of that makes sense? Because it does not make sense to me. I am not a lawyer. Actually, technically, I did watch Suits. I saw every single season of Suits. So I don't know if that qualifies me to be a lawyer. I don't know. Maybe it does. Mike wasn't a lawyer. He didn't pass a bar.
Honestly, as somebody who like went to law school, because I have watched like all the lawyer shows, all the legal dramas, Suits more than qualifies you.
Yes, yes. I mean, it got us a princess, so why not get us a lawyer too, right? That's the best part.
Yo, yeah, there's like a long-term play there. So I'm convinced, right? Meghan Markle married Prince, was it Harry?
Yeah, yeah. Harry.
Yeah, so what's going to happen here, all right? This is a long-term play by the Queen of England to take back America as a colony. Because one day, Meghan Markle's going to run for president, and she's going to be married to the president.
No, but what about her kid? Her kid could technically run for president and be in line for the throne. Correct. That's, like, wild.
Correct. Whoa. So this is a long-term play by the Queen to take back America as a colony.
Let's save that for the Game of Thrones episode, though, House of the Dragon, because I think that's a little bit more in line here. But let's talk about law stuff, man. So she is the deputy district attorney. Zainab, what does that mean? Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Canadian lawyer. We don't have district attorneys, but what I understand is that district DA offices prosecute like criminals on behalf of the district. In Canada, our version of that is basically called a crown attorney, because in the US, it's always the people versus. In Canada, it's the crown versus, because we're still governed in part, like we're still part of the UK in that sense, right? In terms of our laws and our way we're kind of structured there. But in terms of like the law part in She-Hulk, there's not been much of it yet. We haven't really gotten into the meat of the lawyer show part of it, but so far things have made sense. To me, at least. I mean, it's interesting to see how she went from, like, it makes sense to me that she went from being in the DA's office to now defending criminals, right? Because it's the same area of law, really. Mm-hmm. You're just on different sides of the field. I think it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that conversation that a lot of people have when they talk to, like, criminal defense lawyers. Like, how can you defend somebody who's a criminal, right? I'll be really interested to see that, because there is an answer to that question, and it's a very sensible answer. But a lot of people get caught up in the emotion of it. So I think it'll be interesting. I think we saw a little bit of that in this episode as well.
Yeah, yeah, because you know, she is defending someone who tried to kill her cousin, so that is very, very interesting. But I forgot that you're from Canada. Like, do they even need lawyers? Do you guys even break laws there?
Everyone's so nice.
We
there.
Do. Yes, we do. I can tell you that Canadians are definitely breaking lots of laws, and not as much as Americans, because we don't have as many lawyers, and I don't think in the U.S. as we or in Canada as we do in the U.S. But I mean, I currently live in the U.S., but I'm working as a Canadian attorney, so I'm seeing two different sides, really, because my husband's a U.S.-based attorney, so it's kind of interesting that we've got those two, like I see both sides of the equation, really. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we got some comments. We got some people in the comments section right here. Emma says, yes, in some states we have attorneys and others have district attorneys, California being one of them. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks, so Emma. District attorneys are elected based on which county you live in. And then state attorneys are probably statewide. And so, you know, we elected our district attorney here. This guy's amazing. So Brian Middleton. He's like, yeah, you got weed? All right, I'm not going to prosecute you.
Nice.
Right? Like, cool. That's in Texas. Like, it's so great. Wow. Like,
Makes sense. So let's talk about the show. Let's get into it. So one of the things that I thought was really cool and that I saw a huge Easter egg, Jen was on a website after she gets fired, which she gets fired because it's a mistrial because she saved somebody. Zainab, come on. That can't be true. That can't be real. That could actually happen?
Well, obviously in the show, it's like definitely very much exaggerated. But the fact that, you know, she kind of like destroys Titania, saves the jury, and then goes, I'll have my closing arguments now. I was like, that wouldn't really happen in real life. Like, if something catastrophic happened in the courtroom, the trial would absolutely be adjourned to a later date. In terms of them declaring it a mistrial, and I've never been involved in like a mistrial proceeding before. So I don't know like the semantics of it, but I would imagine that in order to declare it a mistrial, the other side would have to put forth their pleadings as to why they felt like it shouldn't be a mistrial. But the reasoning behind, like, there's always like either side can plead anything they want in terms of how they feel that, yeah, this a mistrial has happened. So for that, the I forgot the name of the firm that they were prosecuting.
Something in Holloway, JKL and Holloway, I think it was.
Yeah. So their whole thing was like the jury is biased. I can see that as being like fairly sound reasoning. Of course, this is like pretty extreme circumstances.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I can see that working potentially, but then I can also see like maybe they could have had an argument that they could have put forward to have the trial not be declared a mistrial. Ultimately, it's at the judge's own discretion. And I think that it's interesting because, you know, she's sort of the face of this like new practice area of law, which is superhuman law.
Yeah. And
it sort of, you know, answers these questions, right? Like if you have superhuman people, how does that affect our current laws? Because our current laws are made in mind of like the average normal person who can't shoot lasers out of their eyes or turn into like a 6'7" green giant. So yeah, so it's interesting to see how they're sort of grappling with that. I think that's what kind of is making the show so compelling to me at least.
That's awesome. But so basically she ends up losing her job, which I think is, yo, come on. I mean, a mistrial, okay, but she actually loses her job. And then girl has a hard time finding a new job. Shout out to her paralegal though. She was like with her the whole way. They're like besties. I did like that. I thought that was cool. I wonder if that's like a real relationship. Do like lawyers have like a really good like relationship with their paralegal? Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're in like high conflict areas of law, like not so much like I would say like in corporate law or business law, but like definitely if you're in like crim or family, the people you work with become your family, right? Like, you know, the way I talk to my boss at work, it's different than like previous jobs I've had before I got into law, because, you know, you're kind of going through like a very stressful process. You have to work together and you have to brainstorm together. You're doing late nights together. Mm-hmm. You're being flung like stuff last minute and you just have to sort of band together. So yeah, definitely, like it's a unique relationship. It's a nice relationship to build if you have the opportunity, for sure.
Now I know why Mike fell in love with Rachel, man. All those late nights on the little Seuss reference. All right. So our homegirl can't find a job and she's online looking for jobs. And there is an ad that I don't know if people notice. This ad said it was for Iron Man 3s, which is like the new shoes on there. So like they're like Jordans. Underneath that, there was something that said man in a bar fight with metal claws. Did you guys see that?
Yes. Yes.
I saw that on Reddit. Somebody pointed that out. So I was like, that's Wolverine, right? That's
for Wolverine. Sure, it's Wolverine. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped. Let's go.
I did not know they were gonna do that, man. Like we got the reference in Ms. Marvel. We know they're here. But that's gotta be Wolverine. That's like a blatant Wolverine reference. Jazz, you're excited about that?
Oh, dude, come on. Like, these are little details I live for in the show. Like, even in, I believe it was Iron Man 1 or 2, right? They had, like, the Hulk smashing everything, and it was on the TV as, like, a headline. So I look for these now ever since then. And when I saw that, I'm like, yep. Just keep dropping these Easter eggs, Marvel. I love this. I live for this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And speaking of Easter egg, they also had a reference to the Eternals. So shout out to the Eternals getting some love. Mm-hmm. They were like, finally, somebody addressed the random man in the freaking coming out of the ocean. Like, who was going to, like, somebody's got to acknowledge this. And finally, we see it in an ad on She-Hulk, which I thought was really cool. So I like that this world is referencing all the things that happened, right? Captain America's virginity, Wolverine, freaking the guy in the ocean. Like, it's really cool. Like, it's like everyday people reacting to stuff. Zena, what do you think about that? Is that fun for you? Do you enjoy that?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm like super excited for mutants to be introduced in the Marvel cinematic universe. Honestly, I know it's like unlikely, but I would love if Evan Peters came back for as Quicksilver, if he was introduced in the MCU. I mean, I feel like it's within the realm of possibility. I don't know. What's Evan Peters doing right now? He's got time to do Marvel. Oh, actually, no, wait. He was in WandaVision, right?
Yeah, he was in WandaVision. Yeah. Well, we don't know. That's Ralph Boner is what he ended up being. But
is that what they called him?
Yeah, they called him Ralph Boner. But he is really big with the American Horror Story show. He's in like every season of that. So that's what he's really been doing. But like, I don't know, man. Marvel, American Horror Story, like, come on, bro.
Come on.
Well,
follow the money, you Evan Peters. Come back. Yeah.
Xana makes a very good point, though, in that, you know, having Quicksilver come back, or I never bought that he was completely dead to begin with. All right, like, you cannot tell me this dude's like the fastest person here and he keeps getting shot and he's like, okay, yeah.
Nah, like, nah, I think he's dead, man. Because that makes because then the whole Hawkeye arc is like meaningless if he's still alive. Like, Hawkeye named his kid after him and stuff like that. So I think he's definitely dead. The whole WandaVision, literally.
Is anyone really dead in the multiverse?
Well, in the multiverse, no. That's but in this in this world, in this timeline, sure. I would say yes, right?
So the 616, Quicksilver's dead, fine. But I know they're going to bring him back the same way they're going to bring anybody else back. Like, let's be honest. They could even bring Robert Downey Jr. back as Iron Man if they really wanted to.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Secret Wars is coming. All bets are off. But Secret Wars is not coming for a few years, right? So we'll see. And I have this crazy theory about Secret Wars. So we'll get into that one day. Mm. One day.
Mm. Teaser. Okay.
But let's bring it down to the family level at her family little dinner. And so I was so happy when we saw his family because her family, her dad is Larry from Perfect Strangers. Bro, I love that show. I used to watch that show as a kid and it was one of my favorite shows. I don't know if you guys have seen that show. Have you guys seen that show? You guys might be too young. Oh, so, okay. Oh my God, I'm dating myself, but this was one of the best shows, right? It was one of those like TGIF kind of shows. So there was a guy named Larry. He lived in Chicago. And then his cousin came from the old country. So his cousin was a fob. So they lived together and his cousin did all these like weird things and like, you know, like from the old country. And he was like very modern and American and they were trying to live together and it was just all have all these zany adventures. Like, I love that show because like when I was growing up, like I was a fob, man. I was straight from like Pakistan and I was like, it kind of felt like that. I feel like that show should be remade in today's interpretation and have like a South Asian person be the what you call it, cousins, and have like a cousin from, you know, Pakistan and another cousin from the US and like see how they interact. But that guy played Larry, who was the main guy, and it's nice because he hasn't done anything in a long, long time, but it was really nice to see him bring back. What do you guys think of their family, Jazz?
I thought the dad was really good about like, hey, let's go to the garage and let's actually talk. Families are that chaotic and dysfunctional over dinner. I can totally see that happening when her brother's like, "Hat, you got fired." I'm like, and I was like, "Yep, that tracks." I can see that being part of like an actual family dinner thing. And then, you know, he got promoted to a Best Buy manager. Like, good for him. I can totally see that. The timing of it was hilarious that he was like bragging about it when she got fired. But like, that's a thing families do. And so I thought it was an accurate depiction of a family dinner.
I didn't get the joke before because when Hulk was in the car with her, he was like, "Oh, you're not the only genius in the family." He goes, "There is Jed." And I guess that was ironic or sarcastic. I didn't understand that, which was really, really funny.
Hey, man, just because he works at Best Buy doesn't mean he's not a genius, okay?
That is true. I mean, technically, he's a genius. Oh, my God. That's what they call them, right? Geniuses? Best Buy? Yeah. No, they're not. Geniuses are Apple.
That's Genius Bar.
It's Apple. Okay.
That's Apple. They're nerd. Yeah. Geek Squad?
Geek Squad. Yeah.
Geek Squad.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's what it is. Okay, he's Geek Squad. Never mind. But that would have been funny. But I do like the fact that she has a support system, right? And that's probably why she can control her anger, whereas Bruce Banner didn't. So, like, I think that was a good insight. Xana, what do you think?
I think that, like, so it's interesting because like there was a lot of reaction from the first episode with her saying, you know, I can always control my anger, and you know, right wing trolls sort of ran with that or whatever and said what they wanted to say. But I think here you kind of see a little bit of, in this episode, you see a little bit of Jen's hubris, and that she can't control all of her reactions. She can't control her environment, certainly. And it's interesting to see that, like, yes, she's really good at one aspect of controlling her powers. She can control and turn into She-Hulk whenever she wants. And, you know, you can argue that it's because she's a woman. I think that it's also because she's who she is, right? And it's, I don't think that, you know, the writers are trying to make a very generalizing statement about all women. They're painting a very three-dimensional character. And just seeing how she sort of navigates these new pitfalls, right? Because, like, you know, the end of the last episode, she's talking about how, oh, like, I don't ever have to be She-Hulk. And then the next episode, it's all about her having to be She-Hulk, and her whole reputation and her whole career is based on her being She-Hulk. So really, she doesn't she's controlled in one way, but I think it's really interesting that she's not in control of her powers in another way, because it's really what society now expects of her, to perform and look a certain way, which is something I think, yes, all women can relate to, right? You have to look and act a certain way in order to kind of meet your goals and get what you want out of life. And it's like a really unfortunate and sad circumstance. So I thought that was very, very interesting for sure.
Facts. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble. I started choking. I don't know what happened out of nowhere, but I think that's a good point, because when she does get job offered by Holloway, which actually happens in the comic, that line where she's at the bar and he offers her a job, it's straight for straight, panel per panel from the comic, right? Which is really, really cool. But when he hires her, he asks her to like transform, which I thought was like really like skeevy. It made me very uncomfortable. And like Xander, you're right. I do feel like that is a metaphor for how women are, you know, expected to have certain type of makeup, certain type of hair, etc. And I feel like guys are not really judged on that. It's pretty much just like wear a suit and tie. I think that's probably the most
they ask. Wear deodorant.
Yeah, like why can't she be, you know, the face of Superhuman Law as Jen? Why does she have to be the, like, her looking a certain way has zero impact on her ability to practice law, right? She's a great lawyer. We know that from the comics. So I think that's really interesting as well. And I think it's also interesting that, like, when she, in the very beginning of the episode, just before she gets fired, she's getting buzzed and she's actually holding her own. And then, you know, a man tells her, okay, can you just go back to normal? And she's like completely wasted, right? So like, she's the best judge of how she needs to be, when she needs to be.
Ooh,
right?
Facts. I love that. That's why we have you on the show. I love that. That's something that, yeah, I mean, it's so simple. It's right there, right? Like, people are telling her when she should be the Hulk and when she shouldn't, when she is the best judge of character for that, right? Like, when she transformed, the hangover came back or the drunkenness came back, whereas the Hulk, she had to metabolize, and then she didn't feel comfortable. She has to walk around barefoot. Yo, girl had to walk around barefoot in the office as Hulk, like, as She-Hulk. And I thought, yeah, that's, like, she's feeling tokenized. She's feeling, like, not, like, worth her value there, which I kind of get. And I'm glad they put that in there, but I feel like that's going to be development. I feel like at the end of the episode, she's going to be able to do whatever she wants to do. I think there's going to be a little bit of character development and people are going to respect her. So we'll see where that plays out. But I did like the fact that that dude came out with a basket and also gave her a map to the best place to poop, which was awesome. You got to know where to poop,
it's
bro.
Pug.
That's a thing.
I'm super excited for Pug's character, honestly, without giving too much away. I think that I'm really glad that he's in the show. It'll be really interesting to see what they do with his character in the MCU as opposed to what they did in the comics. But like right off the bat, the map to the best toilets to poop in, oh my god, so important. So important to work in an office building.
That's so funny. I never thought that we would see that. This show is breaking ground. Like, we got to see whether Captain America's a virgin, and we got poop maps. Like, what else do you need in this? And we know that Hawkeye has to go around picking up his freaking arrows and shit. Like, these are the questions that people want to know, and I love that the show is funny. Like, the dumb questions that Marvel fan have, like, this show is just addressing them, and I find them so delightful. They're so much fun, and I think that's the fun part of this show, which I really, really enjoy. What do you think, Jazz?
The first question that popped in my head was, how do superheroes poop in their superhero suits? Like, I don't see, like, a little outlet port or anything. Like, they just, I don't know what they do. I need to know the answer now.
Everybody poops, even superheroes.
Exactly. Everybody poops. Isn't that a book for, like, toddlers or something? Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what's really funny? Everybody poops. That was actually, so I don't know if you guys seen the I Am Groot special. There's, like, a few short stories of I Am Groot. So Groot is actually reading a book that calls, like, Everybody Dumps. Yeah, it's really, really funny. But it's, like, written in a different language. That was really funny.
That's cool.
But
by the way, the I Am Groot little special, amazing series.
They're cute. They're cute. I like them. But you know what else was a little cute? There was this reference to Edward Norton, which is why I gave you the nickname Jazzward Norton. Because when Emil Blonsky and when Jen is talking to Bruce about Emil, she's like, you know, what do you think of this? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's been such a long time ago. I was a completely different person then. Literally.
Yep. When I was watching it, I was like, when I was watching it, as soon as he said that, I said literally at the exact same time he said it. I was like, oh, they did it.
That was so funny. I that was so meta. I really enjoyed that. That part was really, really funny. But let's go into Abomination. Let's go. So I thought it was really cool. We got to see Emil, and he's talking about, like, how he has these IQ. What's the name? Haikus? What are they
Haikus,
called?
Haikus,
right?
Haikus, yeah.
And then he's like, namaste. Yo, why is it whenever someone they want to show anybody peaceful, they got to say namaste? Like, come on, man. like that's like the white people's go-to thing. If, like, oh, I'm spiritual now. Like, I always see that. Like, why couldn't he have gone to prison and turned to Islam like everybody else? Like,
I don't know. Do we want the abomination to be Muslim?
Oh, that's a good point.
Listen, in Islam, everyone is redeemable, man. Everyone can find their path.
Yeah, but then the whole villain arc trope thing happens, and I don't want that.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. So that's the other thing, right? So he talked about his seven benefactors and his seven pen pals. So I'm thinking these seven pen pals, Thunderbolts. And for people that don't know, the Thunderbolts are Marvel's Suicide Squad, and that's who I think they are. What about you, Zen? What do you think?
So I don't know about the Thunderbolts already. What I do have to say about the Abomination that I found very funny was, and I don't know if I'm jumping too much towards the end.
No, go ahead. We can jump around.
When, you know, she decides to take on the client, and next thing you know, he's escaped prison. He's in that scene from Shang-Chi where he's fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, now I don't practice criminal defense. I'm in family, but a lot of overlap. When you talk to clients and you tell them, please don't do this. Please don't just sit on your butt. Don't post anything online. Don't commit more crimes. Don't break your bail terms, please. And they're like, yeah, I won't do it. And the next thing you know, you log on to their, or you go onto their Facebook and they're talking shit about the trial judge. They're out committing crimes. And that, I felt that part was the most realistic. That's like, but he was like off, like he committed a jailbreak. I was like, yeah, that tracks.
That's so funny. I never would have thought about that. That is hilarious.
you truly can't control your clients. You really can't. You just gotta give them the best advice you can and hope they stand by it. But, you know, in criminal matters, family matters, it's so much more emotional. So, like, it's not money that's at stake. It's that people's, like, personal, like, actions, right? That they've done that's at stake, right? So much more emotional. Clients can be volatile, can be unpredictable. So I was like, yeah, you know, just because they're superhumans doesn't mean they're, if anything, it's going to be more. So I thought that scene was really good.
So usually when people are like, hey, people are like, oh, you have to make like an announcement or you have to say something. People are like, oh, no, my attorney prevents me from doing that. So that part is real, right? People, attorneys definitely tell people like, hey, don't issue an apology. Don't say anything. It could be an admission of guilt. We don't know, right?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely. But the thing is like, as a lawyer, you can only advise your client to do something or not to do something. Your client's not beholden to you as their lawyer. You should definitely follow your lawyer's instructions. Ultimately, you can do whatever you want. And it's usually the lawyer who has to clean up that your mess after you've not followed their advice, done what you wanted to do, landed in a big bowl of trouble. and now you're like, oh, sorry, I should listen to you. Like, yeah, no. Wonder you're in the situation you're in. Sorry, I'm struggling very hard not to swear right now.
Oh, no, please do.
You can swear on our show. We allow really? Swearing. Oh, yeah. Oh,
awesome. Okay.
Fuck yeah.
And Zenab does swear a lot. I have heard her. She is at her best when she swears. Like she has a potty mouth. Yeah. Like I know this.
I urge you to find a lawyer who doesn't swear.
That's true. Also, if you find a lawyer from Jersey, that's even worse. It's double the swearing. Everyone in Jersey swears like crazy. It's pretty bad. All right. So let's talk about Abomination and how you would handle this case. So how would you handle the case of Abomination? Let's hear it.
Okay, well, like I said, I am not a criminal defense lawyer. I thought that Jen's like sort of the fact that she found his argument compelling, it wasn't so much that it was and like she even says to Bruce, she's like, you know, I'm not being taken by him. It's not an emotional appeal. I think he's got good facts in his favor. And when you're in law, especially when you're in like a litigious area of law, there's always facts, but there's good facts and there's bad facts, right? The bad facts are facts that work against your client. Good facts are facts that work for your client. And so when she listened to what, you know, the Abomination had to say, what Blonsky had to say, she was like, I could see that, you know, as she's listening to him, she's already formulating like her opening statement. She's already thinking about, okay, maybe I need to pull this witness or that witness. The fact that like Bruce was saying, you know, he wrote me a lovely letter, right? I'd be like, Bruce, I need that letter. I'm going to submit that as evidence, right? So I could see her trying to like, you know, pull out this, like the angle that she'd probably go for, in my opinion, would be that, you know, like Emil Blonsky is reformed. He is in a human form, not out of necessity, not because he was forced to, but because he chose to. He's done, like he's reformed. He's apologized. He wants to move on with life. And then she goes, and then she would sort of build up the case that, you know, the fact that what he did when he did it, he had no choice, right? This, that he was on a rampage because of the U.S. government. U.S. government pumped him with super serum. The U.S. government genuinely believed that the Hulk was a threat. So she would sort of build up all these facts. Now, obviously, you get the ending where he's committed a jailbreak, which obviously is a bad fact in the against her client, right? So it'd be interesting to see how she sort of grapples with that. I can think of a million ways that could go. It really depends on like what additional facts we're given when episode 3 comes out, but I'm sure she'll be able to skew that as well. Like a good lawyer is able to look, like a lawyer never lies, right?
A lawyer never lies.
What is they this? Never lie.
No, a lawyer doesn't lie. A lawyer does a, like
they paint a picture, point, like, okay. They just remove some details and add some details, but they don't lie.
It's an illusion.
No, not even detailed, but I would say like what a lawyer does is they take the facts of the case and they look for the gaps that the other side is missing. And they figure out, well, why are those gaps there, right? Because really what criminal defense is and what I think the question that I think might be answered as you go through, as we kind of go through the rest of the season is like, how is it ethical to be a criminal defense lawyer? And the thing is that ethics has nothing to do with it. Morality has nothing to do with it. In fact, I would argue that it's actually a moral act to be a criminal defense lawyer, because every single person deserves a fair trial. And if they don't deserve a fair trial, then we really don't have a justice system. Then we're just throwing people into prison arbitrarily. And so to have someone who you think, oh no, this person's absolutely guilty, right? Well, okay, let's look at the facts and let's make sure that they are tried fairly on the facts that are given. So the prosecution can't actually do their job effectively if the defense doesn't do their job effectively. If the defense just hands them the case, then how are we actually meting out justice? On what basis, right? So that's why we need to have like that conflict and that challenge, because at the end of the day, like, you know, lawyers can try to lie, right? And I'm not denying that some lawyers do lie, but it's very hard to get away with it. It's very hard to win a case against it, because, you know, you need a little thing called evidence, right? If you don't have evidence, then you need to have people witness testimony. And if you don't have witness testimony, then again, you have to build up what the narrative is. And is the narrative one that makes sense? Is the narrative one that jives with the facts that you do have, right? It's hard to lie. It's hard to lie as a lawyer, if you're in crim or if you're in family.
And you have to
use the facts that you have, and that's what the lawyer uses, is the good facts, and they focus on the good facts and they challenge the bad facts, right? Where you create that plausible deniability. So that's my spiel on why criminal defense is
That was incredible. This is like my favorite like little monologue in our vlog. I'm like I'm gonna take this entire piece out and I'm just gonna post the whole thing, and I'm gonna be like, this is how clip. You actually make our show sound good. Like, I don't know. Like, we're just a bunch of bozos on here, and like, I knew Zena was gonna elevate this show like crazy.
Bring her permanently.
Yeah, I know, man. It's so awesome. But I'm really glad to have you on, and hopefully Abomination will get his fair trial. You know, he did come back after he left the prison, so hopefully that should help him. That should help his case.
That's the thing. I was gonna mention that. Like, maybe he was kidnapped. You know, this could be a good fact. We just don't know it yet.
Wong took him there, man, and Wong is going to be on the show, so we don't know what Wong's deal is. What's his angle, right? Does he have a gambling ring that he's doing stuff?
Hey. I'd love to see Wong called to the stand as a witness.
Sorcerer Wong Supreme.
I want to see what Wong swears on. Is it a Bible? Is it like
which book would he swear on? The Eye of Agamemnon. The Book of Ashanti. Right?
The Book of Ashanti, perfect, right? Like, I want to see that. I want to see, because that's the other part. The fun part of, like, superhero law is, like, seeing, like, superheroes and, like, these great, like, you know, heart, like, figures in the MCU being somewhere as mundane as a courtroom. I think that's so exciting.
That's so funny. Emma says, I would love to see him if they qualify him as an expert in the mystic arts. That's so funny. Oh, that is a good thing.
Yeah, we're gonna bring Emma on. She's also a lawyer. Like, I would love to have her on like later in the season.
Emma, right? Emma, find me on Twitter or Instagram and drop your email, and we will have you on, because that'll be really, really cool. I'm trying to have like as many lawyers as we can on for this show. Hopefully female lawyers, to get like really good representation. And it's just fun, man. I love talking about this. But that's all the time we have for today's episode. Join us for our next episode, where we're going to be talking about the House of the Dragon with Zenab again. So this is going to be a lot of fun. But until next time, guys, Salam Nurse. But before we go, Zenab, do you want people to find you? I don't know. Like, sometimes people want people to find them on Instagram and stuff. Some people don't. I don't know. What's your thing? Do you want people to find you?
Shout out my Twitter. I'll shout out my Twitter.
Shout it out.
Zenab.com. Zenab spelled Z-A-I-N-A-B, and then .com spelled out as well. You can shout me out there.
Awesome.
I'll follow you back.
Are you still doing commissions? Because we can like hype that up too. I don't know if you're still doing that.
Honestly, I don't have time to do that. Aww. I did it more for charity stuff. So next time, like around Ramadan, I'll probably pick it up again to raise some more money. But if anyone wants me to work with them on a little
Like, well, listen, for sure. if you ever have time, you see this little background that we have with the wood and stuff like that. If you ever feel like you need a little bit of extra change, I don't know how much lawyers make nowadays, but I know you got a lot of loans. I don't think you qualify for that loan forgiveness. Yeah. So I'm sure you could use a little extra change. And we're looking for some new logos, man. Salam Nerd logos. Hook us up.
Absolutely. Well, I'll see what I can do for sure.
when you have time.
Yeah, of course.
Anyways, that's all the time we have for you guys. Thank you everybody for joining us, and check out our next episode. And until then, guys, Salam Nerds.
Peace.